there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Today, I am enjoying this beautiful sunny morning right here in the KMUZ studio. It's so fun to be here, where all the magic of local public radio happens. Today, I'm joined by another Polk SWCD team member, Beth Teal, our resource conservationist, and Sarah Hamilton, native and invasive plant specialist for Marion SWCD. And today, our conversation will surround the topic of invasive plants. Welcome to Conservation Spotlight, Beth and Sarah.
Hi. Thanks so much, Morgan.
Yeah. Spring is in full swing here in the Willamette Valley. The trees are all leafed out, flowers are blooming. And our area is known for being a great place for agriculture and the diversity of plants. But not all of the beautiful greenery and flowers we see out there are our friends or good for our local ecosystem. So I'd like to dive in, see the local plant life through your lens, and find out how our listeners can help to stop the spread of invasive plants. So let's start by giving our listener some context, Sarah. How would you define an invasive species versus noxious weeds and exotic species?
So an exotic species is any species that comes from somewhere else, meaning it didn't evolve with the local flora, fauna, soil, climate, and ecology. A lot of the plants that we grow in our yards and gardens are exotic, but not all of them are invasive. So an invasive species is one which originated elsewhere, and it grows prolifically in its new environment. And by definition, an invasive species has negative impacts. They can impact ecology. They can impact the native plants. They can impact human health. But they have to have that negative impact to be considered invasive. And then a noxious weed has been designated by a regulating agency. So in Oregon, the Oregon Department of Agriculture keeps a list of noxious weeds. Weeds on the list are regulated depending on their rating, and it's not legal to sell or distribute noxious weeds.
How many are there in Oregon? Like a rough estimate.
So it's impossible to tell how many invasive species there are. If we're talking about noxious weeds, so again, this is a plant that's designated noxious by a regulating agency. ODA has a list with about 50 top priority weeds, and we'll get into that a little bit more later on. But the top priority weeds, there's not as many of them in the environment. So they're top priority because we think that there's still a possibility to manage them. And so ODA works with partner organizations to try and manage those weeds. They have another 100 species or so that are B-listed. These are plants that are so common in the environment that there's no possibility that any agency could remove them, but it's still suggested that folks work to manage them on their own properties.
Mm-hmm. And we live in a world of acronyms, so if you're not familiar, ODA is the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Thank you so much for that, Sarah. And Beth, how do these invasive species get here? I'm guessing there's a multitude of ways.
There's a multitude of ways. And I used to work in the world of educating young people in school gardens about plants. And one of the best ways to think about how plants procreate and how they get around is by studying their seeds and how seeds spread. Mm. There's multiple ways that seeds can spread from one place to another. So one is on the wind, and one is floating on water, so it can float down the water pathways.
Yes.
And replant itself. Seeds are edible oftentimes, and lots of different critters will eat and then spread seeds through their feces, and other plants are hitchhikers, so easily stick onto fur. So that's how they get from a region where they are already established onto your property. They're going to blow in, they're going to come in with the birds or hitchhike on animals.
Or your shoes.
Or your shoes, right. Mm-hmm. But how they get into a region to start with, oftentimes they are aided by humans. And so humans have brought species for centuries, you know, from one place to another because they think this plant is amazing and they want to see it growing in their own landscape. And so they'll do that not knowing that it could be a problem and become invasive if it becomes very happy in its new environment. Mm-hmm. So plants that are brought into the area not knowing that they're going to become problematic. English ivy is a really great example of that. It's become super problematic in all of our natural areas. It's hard to find natural areas that don't have, that are near population centers that don't have English ivy in them. And giant hogweed is one of our A-listed, very dangerous invasive species that was brought in through landscaping because it gets so big. People thought that was interesting, so they planted it into their landscapes.
So one of the ways that we collaborate in our education for invasive species is through the Mid-Willamette, the CWMA, which another acronym there, that stands for the Cooperative Weed Management Area. Sarah, what is the goal and the mission of this collaboration for the Mid-Willamette Valley?
Yeah, so the Mid-Willamette Cooperative Weed Management Area, it's a mouthful, the CWMA, is a community organization created by and for professionals whose work involves managing noxious weeds. So we create a space for members to support and learn from each other. Weed science is constantly changing, and new species are constantly being introduced, and new research is conducted. And so this is a way to share information with each other about what weeds are out there and how they're being managed and what type of management has been effective. The CWMA offers opportunities to share information, research, and experience between area managers, and we create materials for the region. That way, each of our different organizations doesn't have to recreate the same materials. We join together. For example, we have a Weed of the Month, which Morgan has been helping us to create, and it's shared by all the different organizations, and so they can all reach people using the shared materials and shared messaging.
And Beth, if some of our listeners are feeling like, invasive species, that sounds so overwhelming, I'm just going to leave that to the professionals. Let's try and change their mind a little bit. Why is it important to get community involvement in managing invasive plants?
Well, it would be impossible for the professionals to manage all of the invasive species in our environment. There's not enough resources in any of our local, you know, county or state finances to manage something like that. So it really is a huge community effort. And it completely depends on everyone doing their part.
Yeah. When you're talking about resources, that's not just financial resources, but our time as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Labor. We can't manage it as a professional. So as professionals, what we can do is help people understand the ways to manage their invasive species on their property. So, I mean, the reasons people want to do that are many, but invasive species can have a huge negative impact on our ecosystems. If they're introduced and they're very happy in their habitat, then they're going to push out the diversity of native plants that support all other wildlife. So those plants support a diversity of pollinators, and those support a diversity of birds, and the list goes on, to all the wildlife is impacted when invasive species take over. So it is really important that everyone takes part, and we just need people to understand that the professionals cannot do it alone. Yeah. It's really reliant on everyone taking part. managing their own property.
And it doesn't just affect the natural areas on land, but also our waterways, if you could speak to the impacts on our local streams and rivers.
Right. So our local streams and rivers have enough issues that they're trying to deal with, including increased temperatures and various types of pollutants or sediment that might get into our streams. And with the rising temperatures, I mean, a diversity of plants is really vital to protecting our streams and shading them. And if an invasive comes in, so Himalayan blackberry, reed canary grass, knotweed, those are some invasives that go populate along the streams. And that is damaging for a couple of different reasons. They're not as good at shading the stream, and they're not as good, their roots are not as good at holding the soil in place and preventing erosion from happening. And obviously all the aquatic species rely on cooler waters that's filtered. And so the better the diversity along the stream banks, the better the habitat for all creatures living there and the better cooling capacity it has.
Yeah, so if you're a recreator of the water, paddler, canoer, boater, we could also use your help in helping to identify the invasive species while you're out there on the water. And one other acronym, probably the last one we'll touch on today, EDRR. What does that mean, Beth? And what are a couple of the biggest species of concern right now?
Well, EDRR stands for Early Detection, Rapid Response. And so that is a designation that can be set, for instance, within our own CWMA. We can set our own definition of what we're considering an EDRR, which means we want people to, if they see it, report it right away. So it's an early detection, and that allows the professionals to launch a rapid response. And when it is new to the area and you respond rapidly, then you have a strong chance of controlling it before it becomes widespread and out of control. So it's really important that people are aware of what is on their own property. They're being observant. They are taking notes, and if they see something, and so many great tools out there nowadays with, you know, Google Lens or iNaturalist to be able to look up a plant species. Just last week, somebody did that and found it looked like giant hogweed, which is a big problem plant and considered EDRR by the state. And they put it onto the invasive species hotline, and I was notified because it was in Polk County, and I was able to go like 2 days later, take a look at it, and then that day, ODA came out and helped with removal of this giant hogweed plant. So there it is in action. This giant hogweed hasn't been seen in Polk County in, I think, 4 years.
Okay.
And because we are able to respond rapidly, then it's never going to be widespread.
So if someone makes a positive ID on their property, what are some ways that they can manage or control invasive species on their own?
So multiple ways that people can control invasive species on their own property. And it has a lot to do with how different weed species have adapted to spread. So the number one thing you want to do is understand exactly what it is that you are working with. Know what the plant species is, because knowing what it is determines how it grows. Knowing how it grows is going to determine how you manage it. So for instance, while some plants can spread via seeds, you want, in which case you want to prevent it from seeding, some spread rhizomatously through their roots. So their roots are spreading underground, and they're popping up wherever they want. And every little fragment of that root can then become a new plant. And so when you are removing it, you need to get all the roots out. And this is all obviously small scale. On a small scale, you can't have the opportunity to use mechanical means to get rid of the roots, but you have to catch every single one. So understanding how it multiplies and spreads on your property is important first step.
Yeah, before you start digging and pulling.
Yeah, exactly. And integrated pest management is another, I guess, acronym, IPM, you'll see referred to as how you want to tackle any invasive species. And that means integrated pest management, using multiple different means to attack your weed species so that you are less reliant on chemical control. So it's a way to help reduce the use of chemical control. And chemical control is necessary, especially on large scales, and it is worth the trade-off when you're talking about preserving a whole ecosystem by removing some invasive species, if that's the most reliable means to take care of a species. But other integrated pest management things you'll do before chemical is cultural, which would be like burning or using goats to manage your blackberries. Those are sort of cultural means, and there's many, mulching, cover cropping, and mechanical is like it sounds, using trowels, shovels, weed wrenches, etc., to physically remove it. Biological is well-researched organisms that are released into the environment to help control species. So ODA has an amazing biocontrol department that spends years researching biological organisms before releasing them, and they are a means of controlling various invasive species. So using all those different methods, and then chemical if you need to. That was a long-winded answer.
No, I mean, there's a lot to talk about with invasive species. And just a quick update, if you're just joining us, we've been talking about invasive plants and the impact they have on our local ecosystem, and you're listening to Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. Okay. Sarah, let's jump back to you. What can folks do about this issue of invasive species?
Yeah, so as Beth was saying, the first step is really to learn how to identify your invasive plants. And the Marion and Polk SWCDs both have upcoming weed classes where you can learn about invasive species. You can also find things online about invasive species in our area. You can use apps like iNaturalist, Seek by iNaturalist, or Google Lens to identify plants. They work for most things, but not for grasses. And then the next is just to conduct surveys. If you have property, survey your property. Get to know the plants that are there. And so you can see if something starts spreading actively on your property. The surveys don't need to be fancy or official. You just need to walk your property and make sure that you are paying attention to the plants and getting to know what's there and what sort of comes in, what sort of starts taking off. Once you know the weeds you're dealing with, you can use the ODA weed list or the Mid-Willamette CWMA weed list, both of which are available online, to identify whether it's a priority weed that you're dealing with or like a B-listed or lower priority weed. If it's a priority weed, then report it. The Oregon Invasives Hotline, you can Google it, or it's at Oregon Invasives Hotline. Hotline.org, I believe it
is.
Yeah, Oregon Invasives Hotline.org. And you can report invasive species. And that goes to folks like me and Beth and people at the ODA who can help to manage those A-listed weeds. If it's not an A-listed weed, B-listed weeds, you can learn how to manage them by looking up best management practices from reputable organizations. So you want to look for something that has been put out by a governmental organization or a university. I really like King County's Washington, their best management practices they have for a lot of the weeds that we have in our area, and they include a lot of information that Beth was talking about, different ways to manage these noxious weeds. If you want to do more than that, you can join or start a work party to pull weeds, working with local parks in natural areas or park areas or public areas. At Marion SWCD, you can volunteer at outreach events and educational events. Just give us a call.
Yeah. We do our own invasive species pulse too every so often, and I know that there are lots of community groups out there working on that. We've touched on a lot of great resources out there, and we'll be sure to link those along with this episode, so you'll have easy access to that. We've done a really great overview of invasive species, but I think there's opportunity to maybe highlight a few of our top offenders. Beth, what's a big one in agriculture?
Big weeds in agriculture to control. Well, a big one that I wrote about recently is Palmer's amaranth, and that's not one for jumping on to control right now. That's one to jump on to recognize and report right away, because it's a problem right now in eastern Oregon. Studies indicate that it is capable of being invasive in, like, most of the United States. Like, it's happy with our climate, different soils, different everything. It's going to create millions of seeds. So it's also resistant to many modes of herbicide. So once it's in a field, it's really difficult to get rid of. So that's one in agriculture to watch out for. It has a huge impact. If it enters a field, it can reduce yields by 90%. So everyone wants to make sure that we don't have that establishing in our area. And it was detected in Marion County like 2 years ago. So luckily it was found before it produced a bunch of seeds and it was removed. So it's around. Keep an eye out for that. So in pastures, tansy ragwort is one everybody brings up. It has a really effective biocontrol already out there in the environment. This is in pastures, and it's toxic to livestock, so it becomes a focus for anyone with livestock. It's important to also make sure it doesn't make its way into hay, so or to check hay if it's in there. So that's one. In the spring, it's good to dig it out mechanically, pop it out, and if it's in the a larger area, probably spot spraying. So that one's big. Puncture vine is a big one in our area, too. That's a high priority, that it spreads as a hitchhiker, not by having burrs, but by poking into tires and traveling along with tires.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really aggressive. So that's a good one to watch out for.
Thank you so much for that, Beth.
Yeah.
And shifting over to our natural areas, Sarah, our parks and national forests and the wildlife refuges we have here in the Willamette Valley, what are you seeing for top offenders in those areas?
So one of the top priority weeds in Marion County is garlic mustard. This is a herbaceous biennial in the mustard family with rounded scalloped-edged leaves and white stalks of white flowers. It's allelopathic, which means that it puts chemicals into the soil that inhibit the growth of other plants. So it can prevent other plants from growing up, and native plants as well as crop plants. It tends to spread in forest understories. And there's a lot of it in the Portland area where it has really taken over, especially areas sort of near Troutdale. And we only have two known infestations in Marion County. Okay. We're working really hard to manage both of those, and we're trying to get the word out so that folks will report it so that we can manage it and keep it from moving into Marion County.
Yeah, so you guys were in the news for your work on that.
Yep. You're trying to let people know about it. It's one that can also hitchhike on shoes, so if you go hiking, sometimes potentially in the gorge area, you may be able to pick it up and bring it back here. Next time you go hiking in a trail in Detroit, you could spread it. So making sure you clean your boots is really big for not spreading weeds. Another weed that keeps spreading in our area and is much more common is scotch broom. Up in the Beachy Creek burn area, we're seeing a lot of scotch broom really taking over those burn areas. And scotch broom is also allelopathic, so it puts chemicals into the soil that not only prevent the growth of other plants, but it disrupts fungal networks, and trees and shrubs and other plants rely on these fungal networks to get nutrients. And so scotch broom can have a long-term impact. It can take a long time, even after the scotch broom has been destroyed. before plants can start to grow back in those areas. It also carries fire really well, so it burns really hot and carries fire, and those seeds can last in the soil for about 80 years.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
If you have it on your property, I highly recommend learning how to manage it now and getting started on that.
Mm-hmm. And at Polkest WCD, we have some weed wrenches, which are very effective, I think, for manual removal of scotch broom. So if you have like a smaller infestation, reach out to us to get a hold of those. Yeah.
We have those in Marion County
as
well. So feel free to come give us a call and we can hook you up with some weed wrenches to borrow.
Excellent. And I know the Mid-Willamette CWMA this year is focusing our field tour on the aquatic invasive species. So what species will we likely see on that field day?
Yeah, so one of the big aquatic species in the area that we're working on is an A-listed. So this is one of our top priority weeds. It's called garden yellow loosestrife. Mm. If you look it up, it's a very pretty plant, which is probably how it came to be here. It's spikes of yellow flowers. We don't know how it was introduced to the area, but the area on the Willamette River around Kaiser is the only known infestation in the entire state. So we suspect it is probably planted in someone's yard and has seeded out from there. If you have big yellow spikes of flowers spreading in your backyard, let us know. ODA and the SWCDs are looking to find where this weed came from so that we can help to eradicate it. We have a large group of professionals in the area working together to manage garden yellow loosestrife along the Willamette and keep that infestation from growing.
Thank you so much for that, Sarah. And apart from the education and outreach that we do, what's being done locally to combat and prevent invasive plants? And we'll start with Beth.
Well, in Polk County, we are lucky to have the Basket Slough Wildlife Refuge. Mm-hmm. And they have had an issue with an aquatic invasive called Ludwigia, which is willow primrose, I believe is the common name. Mm. And they've managed to control it there on the refuge, but it escaped through the Basket Slough channel that goes east of there. So we're working with ODA and NRCS and the refuge and the private landowners to control the Ludwigia in that channel from the refuge to the highway. And then in future years, we're going to need to do a more intensive assessment of the channel all the way down to where it flows into Rickreal Creek. Mm-hmm. Make sure that the Ludwigia hasn't spread beyond there.
Yes, so collaboration is key.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And over in Marion County, what are some projects going on?
Well, we're also working on collaborative efforts with Polk SWCD and the City of Salem, Claggett Creek Watershed Council, and the City of Kaiser to manage knotweed throughout the Salem area. We have it in a number of parks and on private property. So if you have knotweed on your property in the City of Salem, give us a call and we can set you up with control. We have a crew that goes out and is doing control in the autumn.
Oh, excellent. I'm so happy to hear that. As you can see, collaboration is really key in fighting invasive species. And Beth, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today and raise awareness about what people can do on their own properties and to help preserve the ecosystems on our natural landscapes. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you so much for having us out, Morgan.
Yeah. I've been talking with my colleagues this morning about invasive plants, and this is an issue that everyone can help with. Help us spread the word, not the weed. And I hope that you leave this conversation today with more awareness on how to stop the spread, manage, and report invasive plants. And I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Conservation Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed our conversation today. Every effort matters, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources. please be sure to visit Marion SWCD's website to see their native and invasive plant database. And our website, Polk SWCD, or our Facebook page for resources on how you can contribute to local conservation efforts. Also, sharing this podcast with others is a great way to spread awareness and encourage positive action. Coming up, we have a weed workshop at Andante Vineyard on July 22nd. We also have a hazelnut cover crop tour August 26th in Sheridan. And if you like what you heard here on Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 88.5 or 100.7 FM the third Wednesday every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and keep up the conservation conversation.